A point I bore in mind myself, Lartros agreed with a grim smile. And I, Stormkeep said. In fact, I imagine quite a few of Prince Divan's nobles were thinking about that. For that matter, I'm quite certain Bishop Melvin was as well.
Indeed,
Yair perked up noticeably. Melvin Norcross was the Bishop of Barkor. Unlike Gerling, he was a native-born Coruscandian. In fact, he was a cousin of the Baron of Barkor, and his family wielded considerable influence both within the church and in secular terms as well. I wouldn't say we've actually discussed it, you understand, Father, Stormkeep said, but from a couple of chance remarks he managed to let fall in my presence, it's my belief Bishop Melvin believes it will be wiser, for now, to pay lip service to this Church of Karras. At any rate, I feel reasonably confident he'll do his best to buffer the blows to those who remain privately loyal to Mother Church. In fact, Lartros looked at his chaplain rather pointedly, if anyone were to have the opportunity to discuss it with Bishop Amelain, I suspect Bishop Melvin would be prepared to quietly extend his protection to a fellow prelate unjustly deprived of his office. Yair looked back at him for a moment, then nodded, and Stormkeep shrugged. The truth is, Father Erwain, that no one really knows what's going to happen. My understanding is that Caleb intends to leave affairs here in Coruscant in the hands of the Regency Council, advised by his Viceroy General Chairman, of course. Apparently, he cherishes the belief, or the hope, perhaps, that now that he's taken himself off to Chisholm, people may forget he had Prince Hector murdered. That's the real reason we all spent so many 5 days parked in Manchir, even after he sailed for Chiraeth. Anvil Rock, Tartarian, and the others were busy hammering all of us over the head with how deeply committed they are to doing their best to preserve the princedom intact and defend its ancient prerogatives. They say Caleb has promised them he'll leave Coruscant as much self-rule as possible. I leave it to you to judge just how much self there's going to be in that rule. The priest's nostrils flared with contempt, and the Earl nodded. Precisely, he said. For now, at least, though, he's left Anvil Rock and Tartarian to deal with maintaining order while he dumps the thorny problem, shall we say, of settling the church's affairs into Gerling's hands. There were rumors swirling around Manchir that Stainer himself may be visiting us in a few months' time. For now, two or three upper priests from Karras are playing the part of Gerling's intendants, and no doubt keeping an eye on him for Stainer's version of the Inquisition. Unless I'm seriously mistaken, Caleb figures his best chance is to at least pretend he plans to ride Coruscant with a light rein, if only we'll let him.
You think that's why he's agreed to accept Divan as Prince Hector's heir, my lord?
I think that's part of it, certainly. Stormkeep waved one hand slowly, like a man trying to fan away through fog. To be honest, though, I don't see what other option he had. He's made it clear enough that whether we wanted to or not, Coruscant's just become part of this Carizian Empire of his. That would have been a hard enough pill to force down the princedom's throat under any circumstances. After Prince Hector's murder, it's going to be even harder. If he'd set straight out to put one of his favorites in the prince's place, or claimed the crown directly in his own name, he knows the entire princedom would have gone up in flames. This way, he and the Regency Council can hide behind Divan's legitimacy. He can even pretend he's looking out for the boy's best interests, since, after all, he never had anything to do with Prince Hector's assassination, now did he? Oh, no, of course he didn't.